The Kurdish rebel group, the PKK, has announced the end of its more than 40-year fight against Turkey, a conflict that claimed more than 40,000 lives. But questions over disarmament and its calls for democratic reforms remain. Upon the news that the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK, was ending its war and disarming, Kurds danced in the streets of the predominantly Kurdish southeast of Turkey. The region bore the brunt of the brutal war which started back in 1984, when the PKK launched its armed struggle for Kurdish rights and autonomy. The group is designated as a terrorist organization by the European Union and most of Turkey's Western allies. Aslı Aydıntaşbaş of the Brookings Institution, a Washington-based think tank, says the PKK's decision is ushering in a new era for Turkey.
It really is a historic moment. This is a conflict that has been going on for almost half a century. And for them to come out and say that the period of armed struggle is over, that they're going to transition to an age of political struggle, I think is very important.
When the PKK launched its armed struggle, Turkey's then military rulers didn't even acknowledge the existence of Kurds, referring to them as Mountain Turks. But nearly 50 years on, and more than 40,000 dead, Turkey is a different place. The third largest parliamentary party is the pro-Kurdish Dem Party. But analyst Aydın Selcan, who once served as a senior Turkish diplomat in the region, says military realities as well as politics were as much behind the PKK's decision to end its war.
From a technical and military point of view, PKK lost. Since almost 10 years, there are no armed attacks by PKK inside Turkey because they are not able to do that. And two, inside Iraq, on the northern half of the Iraqi Kurdistan region, there are almost no longer any presence of PKK. And the other thing is, also, I think, the developments in Syria, because for the first time in history, the PKK's Syrian outlet, YPG, they started administering a region. So it's important for the organization to keep that administration. So they are rebranding themselves and they become more of a political organization.
In announcing the end of its war, the PKK leadership, based in the mountains of neighbouring Iraq, declared that a political space now exists in Turkey for it to carry on its struggle politically. For Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, this is a golden opportunity, says analyst Aydın Taşbaş. If Erdogan can secure the parliamentary support of the pro-Kurdish Dem Party, then he will have the votes he needs in order to change the constitution and end term limits, so that he can stand again for the presidency, and could even hope to secure Kurdish support in a future campaign.
This is a win for Erdogan, no doubt. Yes, Erdogan will, of course, be negotiating with Kurds for constitutional changes. Now we're entering a very transactional period in Turkish politics. Instead of repressing Kurds, it's going to be about negotiating with Kurds. And it may convince the pro-Kurdish faction in Turkish politics, which is the third largest bloc, to actually peel themselves off from the opposition camp, but not going to go down well for the Turkish public, particularly the nationalists, but I think there will be a government effort to explain that.
The government could be facing an uphill task. According to a recent opinion poll, 3-1 of people polled oppose the peace process with the PKK. For decades, the PKK has been portrayed in Turkey as a vicious terrorist organization whose imprisoned leader, Abdullah Öcalan, is invariably referred to by politicians and much of the media as the baby killer. Sezin Öne, a political commentator of Turkey's Politikyol news portal, says the government has failed to prepare the ground for peace.
In the peace processes around the world, you see a big emphasis to convince the society. So there are reconciliation processes, truth commissions, etc., specifically to convince the public. But in our case, it's like a surgery without anesthesia. So it's you have the operation starting without any kind of sedatives or anything. According to public surveys, Erdogan party's voters are also not convinced by and large. So there's a general distrust and the negativity towards the process in general.
Public pressure on Erdogan is likely to grow with the PKK and Kurdish political leaders demanding political concessions to facilitate the peace and disarmament process. Professor Mesut Yen, an expert on Kurdish affairs of the Istanbul-based think tank, the Reform Institute.
In the next few months, the government is first of all expected to change the conditions of Öcalan. The second thing has to do with those who are in jail and those who are not in a good health condition. They are expected to be released. And for the disarmament process to work in a smooth manner, there should be a kind of either amnesty or a reduction in punishment so that the PKK convicts in the Turkish prisons may be released. And those PKK militants who are expected to return back to Turkey would not be put into jail. And lastly, I think the Kurdish deputies and the mayor, political prisoners basically, are released. And in these few months, if none of these steps are taken, then it means that the protests will come to a not an end, but it will be halted.
For now, there have been no government announcements on any reforms other than Erdogan saying good things will follow any disarmament. But the main opposition, CHP party, while welcoming the peace process, is demanding that any measures to free Kurdish political prisoners be extended to all political prisoners, including the Istanbul mayor, Ekrem İmamoğlu, Erdogan's main political rival. While the peace process is widely seen as a political win for Erdogan, it could yet turn out to be a political liability for the president, who risks being caught between a sceptical voter base and Kurds impatient for concessions. I'm Dorian Jones in Istanbul.